In the 1980s, there was a commercial put out by American Express that was played a lot during that time. And I think it's still kind of their motto today, but it's membership has its privileges. You guys all remember that? Well, I thought I'm going to go look up those videos and see if I can find a funny one. There was nothing funny about any of those videos. Not a one. I don't know why they were so popular or why they stuck so well. Maybe it's just that phrase, membership has its privileges. And as I was thinking about the message today, we're going to be talking about privileges that we get when we're part of this new kingdom that Jesus invites us to be part of. And I just thought this idea of membership got me thinking about a story from my past. I've never really been rich enough to have membership in anything cool. The best membership I have is to the local gym. But every once in a while, as a pastor, I've been able to experience other people's memberships when they've graciously donated things. And I remember one year back when we lived in Oconomowoc. I love saying that word. I don't know why. But Oconomowoc. A gentleman at our church there had given us really, really cool tickets to a Brewers game. Giants were playing the Brewers. At the time, my oldest two children, who are now adults, were probably maybe 5 to 7 years old, I think, tops. And so the four of us loaded into our vehicle, and we decided to make our way down to this game. And it was a beautiful sunny day, so we thought, this is going to be an awesome, awesome adventure. As we were pulling into the stadium, we noticed there was a very, very long line for parking, but we also knew that with these tickets came free parking, which was a huge bonus, and it meant we could park on the closer to the stadium instead of the one that's a, I don't know how well you know the stadium, but there's one that's a ways away that's much cheaper for people like me to afford, and then you walk this long line. So we were excited just to be over there. So we get in this long line, and we're thinking, this is going to be great, this is awesome, but it is a long line. Fine, at least we don't have to walk all the way across, right? So we're sitting there, and my wife is looking at the tickets, and she says, Brian, I think we get to go in that shorter, much, much shorter line over there instead of the line we're in based on what I'm reading on the ticket. I'm like, no, uh-uh, no, no way. And if I, even if we are, and I, if we're wrong, and I get out of this line, then they're going to make me go to the back, and I'm not doing that, right? She's like, no, I really, really think it is. So finally, because she's always right, and I'm usually always wrong, men, if you could learn that lesson now, you'd be happier. I got into that line, and we pulled up, and the whole time I'm thinking, they're just going to send me back. Guys like me don't have passes through this. We stand in these lines, right? So I get up there, and I'm like, surely she's going to be wrong, they're going to send me back. Hand the ticket, and he goes, yep, go on through. I was like, what? And so we go through, and then we went through like multiple gates where there were lines, and this pass made us skip everything. And we get all the way to our parking spot, which is literally like 200 feet away from the front door. And I'm like, this is the greatest day ever. I didn't even need to see the game at that point. Just the fact that I didn't have to walk a mile to watch the game was awesome. Last service, I had the worst cotton mouth, so I'm going to drink water this time so that doesn't happen. Anyway, we get into the game, and sure enough, the game, we're like, well, if that is how cool our parking tickets, well, what's the tickets to the actual game going to be? And sure enough, we were on the third baseline immediately above the third base dugout. In fact, I remember at that time, Barry Bonds was still playing, and Barry Bonds coming out of the dugout was a little bit like me sitting here and you sitting right there. It was so cool. It was so fun. And I'm not a big Barry Bonds fan, but it was just a cool day. We had a lot of fun. I remember my second oldest son, he drinks soda way too fast, and when he does that, bad things happen, and he threw up all over my shoe, and I just didn't care. Just didn't care. I didn't have far to walk with that nasty shoe in or out, so it's great. Now, as I talk about memberships, you know, I realize that for most of us, we probably spend a lot of our lives kind of on the outside looking in when it comes to memberships. Maybe we've wondered in our mind, like, how did that person get that? Or maybe it's as simple as just wondering how people get some of the things they get. Like, how did that guy get that boat? How did he afford that car? How did he afford that house? Or how did they get that spouse? Sounded like a Cat in the Hat book there for a second, didn't it? No, I will not eat green eggs. Anyway, I digress. But we have these things in us where we watch other people and we go, I kind of wish I had what they had. And it happens inside the church as well. We'll go, you probably thought, I'm still struggling with this sin, but I see other people, and I hear stories about people coming to Christ and immediately the addiction's removed. They no longer have a drinking partner, a problem. But I've been struggling years and years and years with this issue. Or there's this pain and trauma from my childhood. I see other people are able to let go and be at peace and forgive, but I just can't seem to do that. I can't seem to find that same peace, that same ability to let go of those things. And so what I want to talk about today is God's kingdom. And this whole series we've been looking at through the book of Colossians, what it looks like to be in Christ. And one of the awesome things we're going to learn today from Colossians is chapter 1, verse 12 through 14. It's just a small little section we're going to talk about today, is that we have been invited to share in this inheritance that's called this kingdom of Christ. And what I want to do today is talk a little bit about the advantages or the privileges that come from being part of this kingdom. Being a kingdom citizen has its privileges and its purposes. And we're going to talk about both of those today. I'm going to give you two privileges of being part of this kingdom citizenship that Jesus calls us to. And the first is we get to exchange darkness for light. See, the moment sin entered the world, there became this problem of us running from God, hiding from God. In fact, we see it in Genesis 3, 8. He says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. This is right after Adam and Eve have sinned in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Colossians 1, our primary verse, is giving thanks to the Father who qualified you. Not you qualified yourself, but he qualified you. This membership into the kingdom has nothing to do with you except for that you receive this free gift of salvation. And now you're qualified because of what Jesus did on the cross in your place. And because of that, you share in this inheritance of saints that are in the light, and you've been delivered from the domain of darkness. So this old problem in Genesis has been fixed through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. We no longer have to hide. The Bible, in fact, says there's no longer condemnation at all. 1 John 1, 5 through 6 says, this is the message we have heard from and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. The problem is we've been invited to live in a new kingdom, to act in a new kingdom, to walk in Christ, but too oftentimes we keep returning to the old kingdom. The old way of thinking, the old habits of the flesh. And we live in that darkness because we're afraid of the light. But the Bible says we no longer have to fear the dark. That we are, the Bible says literally, we are new creations. The old is gone and the new has come. We now get to boldly step into the light. No matter what our sins were in the past, the present, or the future. In my own walk with the Lord, I didn't get a handle on the addictions and pain and hurt in my life until I really started to understand that I could walk in the light, that I could boldly come to the throne of grace, as it talks about in Hebrews. That it isn't anything that I've done, it's nothing that I deserve, but grace is extended to me freely. And my job is to live in that grace. And the very act of stepping into the light and staying in the light will break the chain of sin. How does that look on a practical level? Well, it's the simple instruction in Scripture to confess your sin to one another. When we confess our sin to one another, because we are the body of Christ, we now live in the light, and we can begin to experience the freedom that comes from living in the light instead of running back to the darkness. If we're going to walk in step, if we're going to walk in the Spirit, if we're going to walk in Christ, then the way to freedom is to do so in the light, to confess our sins. We have a beautiful program here that I should have mentioned a couple months ago and brought more attention to, so I'm going to remedy that problem this morning and tell you about Celebrate Recovery. Celebrate Recovery is this incredible Christian program where they kind of mesh together the idea of the 12 steps with who Christ is and the freedom that he can bring to you, and they come together and they confess their sins amongst one another, and they find healing and strength to continue to walk in the light. Not perfect, but moving towards being more and more like Jesus every day. We have a program that meets every Tuesday night. I'm going to talk more about it at the end. But if you find yourself struggling with an addiction or any habit or any hurt or any hang-up, that's the place to start. Surround yourself with a group of people that are struggling like you, that are finding answers and learning to really walk in the light. Jesus said, "It is for freedom I set you free." He wants us to walk in that freedom. Romans 5 talks about where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. And then in chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "So then what should we say? Should we go on sinning?" And he says, "By no means." You're missing the point, is what the Apostle Paul is trying to say. The point of having this free grace is that you would learn to be free, to walk in this freedom. Which brings us to our second privilege, and that is that we get to exchange condemnation and punishment for redemption and forgiveness. Because of what Jesus did, his substitutionary death on the cross for our sins, we no longer have to worry about condemnation. We no longer have to worry about the consequences of that sin. Instead, we get to live in forgiveness. We need to be able to both accept it and extend it to be free. Colossians 1:13 says this. It says, he then transferred us to this kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. Then in Ephesians 1, it says, in him we have redemption through the blood. The blood is what gives us redemption, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. The problem is we act like the riches of God's grace can run out. We mobilize in our life whenever we return to the old kingdom, whenever we return to the old ways, whenever we run from God and try to hide in the dark, we act like the riches of God's grace has come to an end. Like he's broke. Can't afford it anymore. Sorry, guys, you're screwed. That's not how God works. His mercies, it says in the Bible, are new every morning. His grace extends beyond anything that we could have ever done in our past, our present, or our future. Hear me today. I know there's people in this room right now that just beat themselves up every single day over their sin. They feel disgusted with themselves. Jesus forgave that. Let it go. Bring it to the throne. Lay it there, ask for forgiveness, then walk away from it. That is the beautiful gift of grace, and his riches of grace never run out. Where sin abounds, grace abounds, so that we would be free. The purpose of the riches of his grace is our freedom. Romans 6, 6 through 7 says, "We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing," zero, zilch, The idea is that as we become more and more like Christ, that the old would be dead. That we would die to that old self, that old kingdom, that old way of thinking, and begin to live in and walk in the light, in this new forgiveness, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from that sin. And before we jump into next steps, I know you're like, wow, he's already done? That's awesome. I'm a preacher. There's no chance of that. You know that, right? Okay. The other side of this, right, is what I mentioned at the beginning. We want to experience the privileges of being part of the kingdom, but also its purpose. The purpose is to show the world that the gospel works. How many of you in this room would buy hair product from me that grows hair? How about Pastor Paul? Why? Go ahead, say it. Because you're bald, idiot. You have nothing that helps me, right? Guys in here losing your hair, you don't want any secrets from me how to keep it. I can tell you how to bick it bald without cutting yourself. I can give you some tips on that. That's the problem when we run around saying we're children of the new kingdom, that we are citizens of a new way, but still continue in the old ways. What we're screaming to the world is it doesn't work. But when we learn to walk in the light, in step with Him, in Christ, not that we're perfect, that's not what I'm talking about, but we're moving towards every day becoming more like Him, deepening our relationship with Him, deepening our ability to turn from sin and turn towards the light. As we're doing that, we become a light to the world. We become, as the Bible talks about, a city on a hill that shines bright for the rest of the world to see. In the midst of the chaos and hurt and the pain that we see in our world every day, the confusion, the doubt, the mistrust, the anger, the addictions, the trauma, in the middle of that, if we are walking in the light, if we are acting as citizens of this new kingdom, not holier than thou, not pretentious, none of that, but we're walking in grace and humility in Christ, in this new kingdom, then we become a shining light to the rest of the world. When I began to be more honest about what was going on in my own life, my own sin, you know what happened? Doors opened to start talking to other men about the same struggle. The statistics of pornography use in the church are higher than outside the church because we live in the dark about it. We're afraid to talk about it, but we're supposed to be children of light. We have inherited the light, not the darkness. We've inherited forgiveness, not condemnation. So we should be proclaiming from the hill that there is forgiveness, that there is grace, and that most importantly, there is freedom. There is a way towards freedom that involves being in Christ, that involves accepting this new inheritance and living in this new inheritance, this kingdom citizenship. You know, one of my favorite football players, sorry, football illustration, here it comes. You knew it was coming. Was Peyton Manning. And what I loved about him is he actually kind of had a trash arm. It wasn't a great arm, especially at the end. It was horrible. I could barely throw 20 yards. But what made him so much better than everyone else, what made him legendary, what made him a Hall of Famer, what won him 2 Super Bowls, is that when he got on the field, it was like having a coach on the field at the same time as a player. He understood the game so well, it slowed down for him. He understood coverages. He understood what he saw in front of him. He was able to move the chess pieces around before the snap of the ball. The better he became at his position, the better he knew it, the better he lived in that, the freer he became to play the game well. same's true for us. The more we walk in the light, the more we confess our sins to one another, the more we accept forgiveness, the more we live in the light, the more we find freedom for our sin, the more free we will be to walk in the light and be a light to others and point the way for others towards freedom. What I want for you, what I want for me is not only that we become free, but that we show the world how to get there. If we all get better at living free, at walking in the light, then the world's gonna want what we got. But if we do the opposite, which is what the church is typically notorious for, the outside world goes, yeah, that's just a bunch of hypocrites. They don't live what they believe. Doesn't even seem like it's working for them. Our job, folks, is to come out of the light and accept this new inheritance. A couple of big things that I think will help us with that. One is learning to be with Jesus. Just learning what it looks like to have a relationship with him. You know, I used to talk a lot about how important devotions were, and devotions are fine, they're great, you know, but most of the time when we talk about devotions, we're really kind of coming to God and asking for him to do something for us, right? And one of the reasons you hear us talk a lot more here about something called the daily offices is because really the daily offices is about really learning what silence and solitude is, what it looks like to literally live out the phrase, be still and know that I am God. Think about the words there. Be still. Still means to cease, to stop doing something. It's the same kind of idea that we get from Sabbath. We just talked about that about a month ago. We stop and we make space and we just stop doing everything else. We're still. And as we're still, as we're silent, as we're listening, as we're there, we will then know God. Our relationship with him will deepen. This is my favorite illustration. Sorry for those that are in the emotionally healthy class. I'm going to use this a million times because I just love it. And most of the time when you're little kids, they usually want something, right? When they come to you, they want something. Feed me, play with me, whatever it might be, right? They want something. It's annoying, right? It's all the time. Love them, but it's just constant. But every once in a while, right? I'm picking on yours because they're in the front. They'll just want to climb up into your lap. And they want nothing. They just want to be with you. They just want to be in your presence. That is one of the most glorious moments as a parent, isn't it? First of all, because it's quiet. But also because there's no expectations except for being with you. And that's something desperately missing from our world now as Christians. That we just stop to be with Jesus, to climb in his lap. Someone the other day told me, every time I try to do that, I fall asleep. Good! One of my favorite pastors used to tell me one of the most godly things you can ever do is take a nap. Yay and amen. Can I hear an amen? But that picture of a child climbing into the lap of a parent, just being there, being present, and not asking for anything, just wanting to be with a father. That's the picture of us. That is a big part of the process of finding freedom in Christ, is to learn to just be with Jesus. What it looks like to walk with him, to know him deeply. And one of the things we like to try to do around here is teach spiritual practices. Before I do that, though, I did promise I would come back to celebrate recovery. If you are struggling with any habit, hurt, hang-up, I want to highly recommend that you come to Tuesdays nights, 6:30 to 8:30. You can come anytime you want. It's open year-round, and we just recommend that you just come, show up, and find another group of people that will help you walk in the light. We're doing a spiritual practice retreat where we're going to teach some of this stuff like silence and solitude. This first spiritual practice retreat, which is this coming Saturday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 in the theater. Pastor Paul is going to teach. We're going to do a little worship, and then Pastor Paul is going to teach a little bit on what it looks like to practice these two great practices of the faith, and then we're going to spend the rest of the time just doing it, learning it, struggling with it. The first time you do a silence retreat, it is painful. Isn't that a great advertisement for the event, huh? It's painful because you realize how busy your world is, how how crazy your mind goes when you stop doing everything else and you're trying to think about Jesus. You're trying to just be in the present with him, and all you can think about is the fact that you got to stop at the store and get milk. I want to teach you how to deal with that and how to work through those things so that we can become more in step with Jesus, so we can have a deepening personal relationship with him. A couple other things that are going on we want you to know about, and there's going to be a video explaining this more, but today's our farewell reception for Jordan. He's stepping down as our youth pastor here and moving on to different things in his life. If you'd like to hear a little bit about that, or just go shake his hand, hug his neck, he's going to be available right after the service in the Volunteer Central, which is right next door over here. And then we want to encourage you, if you're family here today and you want to know more about our baby dedications, to come to this class on October 10th. And if you are 19 to 35 years old, part of our 20-something group, we have our second ever Remnant Worship Night coming this Wednesday night. So if you missed last one, I'm telling you, it was awesome. It was on fire. It was lit. It was all those things that old guys shouldn't be saying. And it's going to be that way this week because I won't be there saying lit. There you go. Okay. And then finally, the last thing I want to do today to kind of really bring this all together is I want to celebrate communion with you. If you've got your communion cup, please pull that out. There are some ushers that are handing out any that, in case you missed it, just raise your hand and let them know. Communion is an incredible way for us to celebrate this together. So this very thing that Jesus has done, inviting us into the light, inviting us into holiness, inviting us into forgiveness. It's a way for us to celebrate that. Matthew 26, starting in verse 26, says this: while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and then he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And after taking the cup and giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood, the blood of the covenant that is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, from now on, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." This is a reminder of what Jesus did on the cross for us so that we might be free. Free to walk in the light, free to no longer suffer condemnation and fear, but to boldly come to the throne of grace. Let's partake of the bread together. This is his body broken for us. It is a reminder of what he suffered for us. Let's eat together. And then the juice is a reminder of his spilled blood, sacrificed for our sins that we might have new life. And when we drink and eat this communion together, we are again proclaiming to the world that the gospel is working in our lives and it's changing us. So let's partake together. Father, as we continue through this day, and as we think about all that you have done for us, in us, Lord, I pray that you would help us learn every day what it looks like to know you deeper, to be in step with you, to walk in this newness of life, to live a life that is worthy of all that you are doing for us, Lord. To live a life that sends a message, that becomes a bright light, a city on a hill for the whole world to see, so that people struggling, hurting all around us, our neighbors, our friends, our relatives, our coworkers, Lord, that are hurting, that are in pain, that don't know you, that they'll see what we have and they'll see that it's changing us and they'll want that for themselves. Lord, let us live this purpose that you've given us by also living in the freedom that you boldly bought for us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.